Romans chapter 7. You got a Bible? Today, you know, a lot of people have asked, you know, hey, what kind of translations do you guys use? What are some of the favorites? That's different for every church, obviously. Some of my personal favorites, I love the New Living. I love studying out of the New Living. Originally, when I got saved at 17 years old, this was my first Bible. It's duct taped now. It's missing some of it. It's been left in South America. It's been left in Texas. It's been left a lot of places. But this is one that I've written in. When I was about 25 or so, I went to a funeral, and at the funeral of a 95-year-old woman who had a Bible, and she left that Bible to her kids, and it was written in, and it was just very cool going through it. And so at a young age, I started writing through it. And this is the New King James Bible, and so I'm going to be reading from the New King James today. If you go to YouVersion, we have our notes in there, and we're in the middle of a series in Romans. And let me say this. There's a part of you when you're reading Romans where you realize, man, I've been lied to. I've been told something, whether good intentions or not, I've been told something that actually isn't true. You've discovered that, like at whatever age you're at, you're like, I was told that as a kid, and I don't know that that's true. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never. No, that's actually a lie. Those words do hurt. And the sticks actually healed a lot quicker than the words did. We've been lied to on so many fronts. And as I'm reading Romans 7, I'm realizing, like, the book of Romans, these 16 chapters, I'm realizing, man, there's a lot of things that have happened in life that aren't actually true that I've believed or I've clung to or I've held on to, and I'm realizing. And again, this is the openness. The openness of reading the Bible is, am I open to being corrected? Am I open to changing, or am I going to stand my ground and be like, no, I believe this, and I'm going to die on this hill, right? And so when I'm reading this, I'm going, wow, there's a lot of things. We're all learning. I see a lot of you with silver or no hair. You're still learning, okay? You're still growing. You're mature in age, and God wants to mature you still spiritually. And there's things that if we're so not open to being transformed by the gospel, we're going to miss out on what God has for us because I'm thinking wrong. Or because it's not because God's wrong, it's because my thinking is wrong. And we come to Romans chapter 7, and it's this mindset of, I got to stop doing things out of guilt and doing them out of love. This is what Paul's saying. Paul's going, you're obeying the law for the wrong reasons. You're obeying it because you're checking God off on a list. But Jesus comes, this is what Paul's saying, Jesus comes, and there's a purpose of the law. The law's purpose, and I'm going to say this more than once, the law's purpose is to shine a light on where we're living, so that it can be exposed so that we could be transformed. It's not a light that shines on us so that we could be made fun of, so we can see what horrible people we are, even though Paul uses the word, a wretched man. Even though he says those things, he's understanding that in my flesh, on my own, left to do what I want, it's not good. It's not good. It is a crazy thing going on. And he goes, but when the Spirit's alive in me, it's not a have to, it's I get to. I don't have to go to church. I get to. And this might be the only free place you have this week, so I'm just throwing that out there. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. It's just some things I've heard. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. But now we've been delivered from the law. Delivered. That's a big word. Having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter or the law. He's like, listen, there's a newness to what's happening. Rather than being motivated by guilt and punishment, we're motivated by love and grace and mercy, and it's His kindness that leads to repentance. Okay? God doesn't, you know, strike you because you're bad. God loves you through. Romans is all about the righteousness of God extended to the unrighteous. You know how I know that? I have to know that I'm unrighteous. I have to know that I haven't figured it out. I have to know that I've not arrived. I've not gotten it all together. That there's some things that God is still changing me of. And no matter your age, no matter where you've been and what you've done, the invitation is extended to you. But make note, we are unrighteous on our own. And the righteousness of God is extended to us through faith in the gospel. Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. He's like, listen, you know now. And because you know, you can't unknow. You can't ignore it. Why do we bring truth to you? Because we need to learn. We need light shine on it. You don't know what's happening in foster care. We had to shine a light on the evil that is happening in our state of what is happening in foster care. Over 15,000 to 20,000 kids in foster care that have no home, who have been abused, who have been neglected, who have been forgotten. And because we now know, we can't unknow. He's like, listen, when you know that God is real and when you know why Jesus came, you can't unknow that. You can't just pretend like it didn't happen. You can't just keep walking like all of a sudden your eyes weren't open or your heart wasn't softened. No, this is the point. Paul is saying, now I know. I got to do something with what I know. I thought of it this way. Because I have kids, because I have teenagers, most of what I learn is because of them, those little sinners. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, every teenager is real, like, stone cold right now. Listen, I've seen that look before this morning, all right? So you don't scare me with your all-knowing everything. For example, if I walked in one of my daughter's rooms today, later today, visualize this, like, this statement that I could see Lila making. I already cleaned my room, Dad, I promise. So you walk in the room, and Lila strategically shut off all the lights, right? And closed all the blinds, right? Actually, she has those LED lights in there, so it's like this weird blue, you know what I mean? And it's like, so outside when I'm pulling in, I see like this, her room's in the front, and it's like this blue glow. It's really kind of cool but creepy at the same time, you know what I'm saying? And so this blue, and it's dim, right? And all the stuff is crammed into these dark corners. And the all of her things, they're like, so at first glance, you walk into this dark blue abyss, right? And you're pleasantly surprised. You're like, wow, I can see the floor. Wow, years of her mother harping on her, cleaning all the other rooms of the house. Like, it all makes sense. It clicks. And then, light check, right? The light check. You turn the light on. And to your dismay, everything holy has just become defiled. You know what I mean? So question from that experience that's happened more than once this past week. Did the light make the room dirty? No, the light just revealed what was already there. The law and the intent of the law doesn't change you. It just reveals what is already there. This is what the light, this is the fulfillment of what Jesus was saying. He says, listen, I didn't know not to covet until I saw the law that said, don't covet. Now I know I can't covet, and now I'm dependent on who God is, and being dependent on who God is, I can't unknow this. I can't pretend like it didn't happen. I can't pretend. You can lay in your bed, Lila, and you can pretend that your room is clean, and you can tell yourself all day long, the room is clean, but when you turn on that light, there is no denying that you are a little sinner and a liar. Verse 9, I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. He's saying, listen, I thought I was fine before the law revealed that I was not. This is the point of the gospel. to let us know that we're not there yet. And it's not because we're horrible people or we have bad families. It's because we're all there. This is the reason he says, for all have sinned, all have fallen short. We have to understand, we don't get to categorize people. God says all. And he's letting us know, like, we're all in the same boat. And because we're all in the same boat, Jesus came to die for all. Verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. If you're going to hear anything, hear this. Sin is a deceiver. Amen. I heard it growing up as this way. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you way more than you're willing to pay. I'll add these. Sin always overpromises and underdelivers. Promises that our actions will be hidden, and that no one will ever know. This is the deceiver of sin. No one will ever know. Sin promises a great time without great consequences. Sin promises wisdom, knowledge, power, prestige in exchange for submission. This is what sin promises. In this verse alone, Paul is saying that we've twisted the law. We've twisted and it's actually produced death. This is so close of where we're living. Verse 12 says it this way. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. He says, within the law, I understand the nature and the character of who God is. I find out who he is and how he loves and how he gives. So if I'm constantly viewing God from the standpoint of he's mad at me and he's against me and he's waiting to zap me from what I did in junior high, and I constantly view God from this angle and not a compassionate, kind, merciful, graceful father, when I view him from that understanding, then I'm no longer working to become his son. I'm just his son. It's a big difference. There's a big difference. I'm constantly working. He's like, no, no, no. The law, it's holy. It's revealing who God is. Sin is the culprit. The law is not bad. Again, he's writing to a group of people who've put all of their trust in this law. They've said, like, I need to check this off. 600 laws. Could you imagine having a list of things that you can and cannot do? Could you imagine this? So much that you're living in such a self-righteous way that you go, I cannot believe that you're wearing flannel. It's April. It's past daylight savings time. You little sinner. Right? All these laws that they created, they've taken the 10 laws and they've expounded them to over 615 laws. Why? Because this is what happens when we try to keep. And he's going like, who could do this? Who could keep this law? No one. No one. And he's saying, listen, sin is what we need to focus on. Verse 13, he says it. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that is, it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. He's saying, listen, has the good law caused my doom? No. No way. The law is not the culprit. Sin is. Sin takes what was meant for life and twists it into something that produces death. I'm going to get real for a second, and some of you, you're going to wake up for right now. This is what our culture has done with sex. We've taken what is good, what God created, and we've twisted it. And we're deceived by it. And we're uncomfortable about it. We can no longer talk about it, which was the point of the enemy. Let's not talk about it. Let's keep it a secret. Let's keep it private. We're not going to really share those kind of things because it makes people feel uncomfortable. But let's get back to what God created. Listen, I'm not telling you something that Jamie created, Jamie came up with. If you have an argument, if you're arguing with anybody in public, or they're saying like, well, you believe this, go, always come back to like, listen, you're coming against the word of God. You're not coming against me. I'm representing what this says, okay? So if you're offended, you're offended at God, take it up with him. I'm sure you have his email as well, right? But we've twisted these things, and what happens when you twist them? They get worse by every generation. Now all of a sudden, what used to be something that we're embarrassed about now is like somewhat normal. And teenagers, listen to me. I understand. Because I used to sit where you sat and thought, what an old-time guy is talking about, right? And you thought like, oh my gosh, this guy is so old-school thinking. And I know, you don't know life without a device. You don't know life without getting news in a second. You don't. And I don't envy you. I don't want to be in high school right now. It would be difficult. I'm not knocking you. I believe in you. I believe, and I believe it's harder for you because the enemy has come in and he's deceived. And this is what we have to talk about. We have to talk about the sin that is deceiving and twisting. And if we're not willing to talk about it because we're going to hurt some people's feelings, if we're not willing to go there, then we're missing the point of what discipleship actually is. Discipleship is messy. It is crazy. It's the reason the word is hot mess, because it's hot, it's topical, it's controversial. People don't like to talk about it. There's a spirit of offense that is rising. Matthew 24 talks about it. There's so much stuff that Paul is coming to. But the bottom line is, God had a boundary, and we've crossed that boundary. And we've twisted what is good, and we've made it normal. So much that now you're the minority, I'm the minority, and I get looked at funny when it used to be twisted. It used to be different. I'll give you a stat. I'll give you a quick stat of just the last 20 years, because the stats flipped. And this is in the church. 61% of the church 20 years ago did not believe that same-sex marriage was okay. 61%. Okay? Now it flipped. 61% now think it's okay. And some of you do as well. I'm telling you right now, standing in this room, this is not what God says. It's what the Bible says. The Bible is not okay with that. And I'm willing to have conversations, because here's what we've done as a culture. As a culture, we've made the sin bigger than the sinner. And so now, if we don't agree on something, then I'm going to just unfriend you. I don't need to talk to you because we don't agree. Where's the logic in that? How are we ever going to move forward? How are we ever going to move forward knowing, like, let's disagree, but sit down and have an honest, open conversation? Because what you're saying doesn't make sense to me, and what I'm saying doesn't make sense to you. So let's hash this thing out. Let's not just walk away, right? And so that's what we've done. We've taken the sin that has been so twisted and so uncomfortable. We're like, you know what? I'm not going to talk about it, because now it's being affected in my family and all of these things are happening, and I'm just going to avoid it like it's not happening. This is a news flash for all of you. It's happening. We're living here. Read Matthew 24. Read Matthew 24 as the times that we're living in. And yeah. Verse 15. That's where Paul gets real. He says, what I'm doing, I do not understand. Have you ever been there? What I'm doing right now, I just don't get it. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Verse 20. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me. The one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of what? My mind. Paul is addressing something right here. He's saying there's a war that is happening, and the war is against your flesh and the Spirit of God. And this war that is happening is starting on the inside. And now what's happening is we're starting to see it manifested on the outside. And Jesus made this real clear. Matthew 5, Matthew 17, Jesus makes it clear. Whatever is happening on the inside is eventually going to come out. You can say it's a secret, but at some point it will come out. Galatians 5 kind of backs up this war in verse 17, where he says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. He's saying, listen, there is a war that is constantly happening. And this war that is happening, you have to understand that you and I'm not dumbing down the fact that we have intelligent people in this room, right? We know things. We know things we should do, and we don't do them. And we know things that we shouldn't be doing, and we do them. This is what Paul's saying. Paul's going, the warring that is happening is the fact that I know I should drive past McDonald's, but I do it anyway. Dang you, chicken, you know? He's saying, listen, there's a war that's happening, and it's happening within my mind. And Paul understood this. And Paul understood he was a wretched man. He understood that the law of sin and the law of God was going against one another. And he says three truths that I think are so important in these first 15 verses. He says, first, more knowledge about the law is not the answer, right? More self-determination, you saying every single day, today's my day, is not going to fix it. And becoming a Christian won't rid you of a life of sin. He's saying, in these three points, he's saying, listen, there is something that's happening. Jesus came, he paid the price. That's done. It's done. It happened. But he says, but you're still living in the flesh. You're still around what? With the temptations of sin around you. The consequences of the sin around. He's like, I paid the price, but now here's the war that's happening. You're still around being tempted. And just because you've said yes to Jesus doesn't mean everything goes away. He's like, there's still a war. In fact, he's saying there's probably more of a war now that you've made a declaration. And he's coming to this front. And then Paul has this moment, this kind of evaluation moment. I'm going to head over to Ephesians, if you guys don't mind going there. Ephesians chapter 4. Some other things that Paul said to the Ephesian church that I think is crucial to this verse 15. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Paul's having this moment. And this moment is this evaluation where he's saying, like, let's put things into perspective. Let's simplify things that are really going on inside of us. And he's talking really about the heart. He's talking really about all of these things, this reality. And this is the reality. When you and I are angry, it's because we didn't get what we wanted. Right? This is what Paul is saying to the Ephesian church. He's what he's saying in Romans chapter 7. He's saying this war that's going on inside of me is I'm doing what I know I shouldn't be doing. And the things I should be doing, I'm choosing not to do those things. What are those things that he's talking about? The entire situation of being angry could be reduced to this statement. I wanted that and I didn't get it. And because I didn't get it, I'm angry. And again, Matthew chapter 5, the whole chapter. In fact, verse 17, Jesus came in verse 17. He says, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. You've heard it said, you shall not murder your brother or sister. You'll be subject to death. But Jesus said, but I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother or sister is already subject to death. What did Jesus do? Paul brought Romans 7 from Jesus in Matthew 5 going, listen, you guys have made it about this outward appearance of obeying these laws. Jesus brings it in and says, no, no, no. This is a reflection of what's going on. You've heard, don't act on murdering. Jesus comes in and says, no, it's not that you're not to act. Don't even have anger in there. Because when you have anger in there, eventually that anger is going to come out. Nobody murders someone and goes, you know what, I've been usually a happy-go-lucky kind of guy, but today I just snapped. It's not how that works. It's not how that works. And again, you know why we don't deal with it? Because we don't want to talk about it. What is that? That's sin that I'm not willing to talk about, and now I see the ramifications of that sin. And it's big. And then we say things like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? Where did we get there? Well, let's talk about how it happened. Let's talk about what things happened to get to this point and stop trying to Band-Aid the problem, right? Oh, that guy, he's got some things going on. Well, yeah, let's go back to his childhood and let's talk through this. Well, if we go back there and we bring up those old things, yeah, he might get healing. It's crazy, crazy concept. Jesus said in Matthew 12, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. This is kindergarten stuff, you guys. Even on Zoom, I figured this out. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. Right? How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. This is Romans 7 coming out. He added in Mark 7, and then he added, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. He just listed this whole group of these sins that are outward in nature, right? Outward in nature. Stealing, fornicating, all these things, these actions. He's saying, listen, but it all comes back to this, is revealing the heart inside. If you deal with the heart, the outward will change. Religious leaders, if you deal with the heart, if you deal with the things that you're doing and why you're doing them or why you're not doing them, then the point will be, because I've guilted people into doing something, right? I've put pressure on people to do them, and now they're doing them for the wrong reasons. People come to me all the time. My son, my daughter, I don't think they believe in Jesus anymore. I would say they probably never did. They only were following because you dragged them to church and they didn't really want to come. But we can't talk about that because then you feel like it's reflected on your parenting skills. And I'm stepping on your toes and you're so offended at me that you left the church and went somewhere else. But here's the principle. When our hearts are stirred, when a light is shining on our hearts, we find out why we do what we do. Oh, there's hurt inside my heart. Oh, there's offense inside my heart. What in the world do you think is going to come out? Someone stirs that heart, what comes out? What's in there? Well, I've been hurt since I was a little kid. Well, guess what? When your heart's stirred, not when life is good, not when people are nice to you, but when your heart is stirred, this is when we find out. And I'll say this, anger gains its strength from secrecy. I'll say this, sin gains its strength from secrecy. When we keep things a secret because we're ashamed, because we're embarrassed, because we don't want people to know the real you, you just want them to know the Instagram you, the highlight reel you, the moments that you did your best, not the plays before, but the moments where you didn't fail, when you just made it all good, so everybody thinks that you're awesome and everybody can clap for you and give you tons more likes and people can now add you and now you got 50,000 followers. Who gives a flying rip how many followers you have if all you're doing is pretending to be something that you're actually not? Social media, oh man, you know, oh golly. So Paul says, but instead, Ephesians 4:32, but instead what? Be kind to each other. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Again, I have like 3-4 minutes. Who is writing this? Paul. Paul is writing, hey, be kind to each other, tenderhearted towards one another, forgiving people. We know from 2 Corinthians 11, all the things, you can read it yourself, I don't have time to read it, verse 23 to 26, all the things that Paul went through. All the things that happened to Paul. And Paul is saying to the Ephesian church, guys, there's a different way. Here's the different way. It's not revenge. It's love people. Extend the grace that you've been extended. Here, I'm going to make a bold statement. If you find yourself responding and reacting in a way that is not ever becoming, you're embarrassed by the way you're responding, that tells us. The light is being shined. That tells me there's moments, you guys, where I'm responding in such a way that is not Christ-like. And because it's not Christ-like, the light is shine. It shines and it goes, whoa, why did you respond that way? And I can no longer go, well, I had a bad day or so-and-so said what they said. No, what has happened was my life was stirred. And when my life was stirred, it revealed what was really in there. And now I responded to one of my kids, or I responded to the guy at Home Depot wrong, or I responded to the gas person wrong, or I responded to my wife wrong. It's not my wife's fault. It's not the Home Depot's fault. It's the fact that I got something inside of me that shouldn't be there, and it just got revealed. It just got exposed. And so I can't go, well, I only responded to you because you were a jerk to me first. And God's going through Paul, try a different way. Try a different way. Instead, be kind. Instead, so deal with what is going on inside of you, and then the outward is going to change. And now I don't have to go, well, what I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. No, live differently. How? By leaning in to who God is. The solution. All right, I got to end there. Sorry. There's a couple of the scriptures. Well, you know what? I got 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. Colossians 3 says it this way. I'll have you read it later, but right in the middle, Paul tells the Colossian church three quick things that I think we should really... He says, be even-tempered, be content. I ain't going to say the second part that the message says. Be content with second place, right? Ugh. And then he says, quick to forgive an offense. Okay? He really focuses on that. He says, listen, be even-tempered. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, be the same here that you are there. Be even-tempered. Be this. Don't be this emotional drama person. He's like, be this. When people see you at work, they're like, I want what you got, and it's what you got is also on Sunday. All right? He's saying, be even-tempered. Then he's saying, be content. What does the word content mean? It means an internal satisfaction that does not depend on what has happened outwardly. Okay? This is what Paul also talks about. He's saying, listen, I'm okay inside. I can find joy in the middle of the crazy that's happening because I have this internal peace that only comes from God. And then he says, not just to forgive, he says, quickly forgive. Like, I'm okay with forgiving over time, right? We'll get there. He says, no, be quick. Be quick to forgive. And Jesus actually said in Matthew 24:10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and will have a hate for one another. What is Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about the end, you guys. End times. He's saying, hey, what's a sign? What's a sign of the end times? And I know people clam up when anytime a pastor comes up and says end times or says, turn with me in the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible. People are like, oh, snap. I get it. All right, kind of. Jesus talked about it, Matthew 24. Read the whole book. Read Jesus' words, not my words. He says, this will be a sign. Many will be offended. They're going to hate one another. They're going to betray one another. Hello, are we living here? Are we living here? I'm just going to be offended. Don't even talk to me about it. I don't even care what you believe. I'm going to just be offended. Right? This is where we're living. Two last scriptures. Three. I apologize. Proverbs 19:11. A wise person demonstrates patience. Come on, somebody. For mercy means holding your tongue. Oh, Lord. Didn't say fingers. All right, anyway, when you are... Just kidding. When you are insulted, be quick to forgive and forget it. I love that he says... He doesn't say, when life is good, when people are kind to you. He said, when you're insulted. Be quick to forgive and forget it. For you are virtuous when you overlook an offense. Whew. In Psalm 119:165, there's such a great peace and well-being that comes to the, Kelly's word, lovers. Of your word. And they will never be offended. You know what David's saying? David's saying, when you seek this, you don't got time for that. He's saying, when you're such a lover of the Word of God, that you're soaking it up, that this is what you want, this is what you're longing for, and you want to know more truth, and you don't even have time to deal with the crap that is happening around you. You're no longer turning on this. You're looking at this, and you're going, God, I can't get truth there. I'm going to get truth right here. What is it that you're saying to me? God, I'm not even offended at them anymore because it doesn't even matter. And why they're even offended at me anyway has nothing to do with me. They got daddy issues. Had nothing to do with me. They are so far gone. I just was caught in the crossfire, right? Paul ends with this. And I thank God through Jesus Christ. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. He's saying, listen, when I lean into God, I'm serving Him. When I lean into myself, bad things are going to happen. This is what he's saying. He ends with, here's the answer. The answer is not the law. The answer is in Jesus. The light is shining. The law is shining the light. It's saying you need to clean your room. Jesus comes in and says, I'll joyfully clean my room because I know blessings come from obeying my parents. I mean, that's the Bible. Some of you are like, well, I'm so glad I cleaved and leaved my parents' house. No, that's not actually what that means, but that's a whole nother topic. You know what's worse than offended friend? An offended friend of an offended friend. When he says overlook an offense, he's saying stop bringing people into the equation that should never be in the equation. Best advice. I know I've said this to a lot of, I've said this before, but some of you weren't awake or weren't here. So my mom said to me at 21, when I'm about to get married, which was way too young. It's the word of the Lord. Anyway, you're not even my kid. She said, when you and Kelly fight, don't tell me about it. You're my son, I'm going to believe you. And you and Kelly, you're going to make up. And making up was good. You're going to make up. You're going to make up. Why did you laugh at that point? You're gonna make up, and we're not going to make up. And so I'm still going to be offended at her all the while you've moved on. Don't bring me into the equation. I don't want to hear about it. It's so true of every relationship that we have. Stop bringing in people into the equation that should never be there. Because now they're carrying an offense that's very difficult to overlook unless you're in the Word of God. Okay? There's a lot that Paul is saying in Romans 7. Guys, there's things that are happening inside of me I don't want to do. And the things that I don't want, I find myself doing them. Like, we got to evaluate. Why am I angry today? Why am I hurt? What have I not dealt with? Why do I have issues? Like, these are all things. And he ends with, but I thank God. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. We are a great church, but we're not going to fix you. We won't. We're going to help. We're going to assist. Our life groups, they're great. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. Would you stand with me right now? Guys, we're going to sing this song, and there's a line in the song that I want us to just hone in on. It says, give me faith to trust what you say. That simple line. When you're in your seat right now, whether you know the song or don't know the song, I want us to make this our prayer. God, give me faith to trust what you say. Listen, the culture we're living in right now is believing everything they're hearing, right? So I got to be intentional on going, God, no, I need faith to hear and to trust what you're saying to me. And so what that means is I cannot get that unless I open this, okay? I can't just go, well, I got a Bible, I should be good now. No, it doesn't work that way. You got to open this, okay? Open this book and let it speak life into your situation. Become lovers of this, and you'll find that you're less offended, which what? Which brings more life to you. You'll worry less when you're trying to not please people. You will. I mean, you're becoming a totally different you. Man, well, some of the best things that I've heard about some people that I've come to know that have just come to Jesus is that they're already seeing people go, man, you're different. What is that? Man, it's Jesus. That's why I'm different. I'm different because Jesus changed my heart. What's the answer? Jesus is. It's right here. Here's the instruction book. Here it is. Jesus, we need you today. God, we trust what you say. And God, we know that this is the written word of God. It is truth. It is life to our bones, to our bodies, to our souls. It brings light because you're for us and not against us. God, it leads us to the path of righteousness. It leads us to still waters where we can grow and we can dwell and we can find rest in that. So God, would you help us today to trust what you say? God, would you give us faith in this room? God, to depend on you and less of us. God, we need you today. In the name of Jesus. Come on, sing these words together. Soften my heart.
part, I need you to open my eyes to see that you're shaping my life. Oh, all I am, Lord, I surrender. Give me
mistake about this. You're running this race called life. Man, God is, he's right there cheering you on. Man, he is cheering you on as, and he's even saying, like, listen, the old prophets have passed, they're cheering you on too. This cloud of witnesses, these men and women who have gone, they're cheering you on. Listen, make no mistake about it. God is for you and not against you. God is there when you fall, and he's there when you rise. He's cheering you on. Okay? Know this today. When you leave here, he looks at you and he says, son and daughter, I got great plans for you. I'm so encouraged by what God is doing in this hour. Church, my warning to us today is don't miss it. Don't miss what God is doing. It is a new thing, right? It is a new thing. And Paul says, listen, man, we got to depend on the Spirit. He said, I ran to the gospel to be saved, and I run to the gospel to be sanctified, to be set apart. I'm constantly running back. It's when we no longer run to the gospel that we're missing it. And we find all of a sudden, like, God, what is happening? Run to the good news that is found in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Have an incredible Sunday. Heat wave week. Come on, somebody. Have a great day, everybody.
Did you hear me say Home Depot over there?